League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, joining you once again, Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski. He covers the Bucks for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was in Los Angeles setting up shop at the Staples Center as the Bucks split a pair of games against Los Angeles teams, the Clippers and the Lakers. They returned to the floor. They got the Blazers on Friday night as their sixth game, their meaty West Coast trip continues. Jim, we'll get to those games. Those games are important, but the big story, I guess, from the last few days since we last chatted was the addition of a player to the roster. The Bucks officially signing Jeff Teague. He was waived by the Boston Celtics, a guy who has connections with Mike Budenholzer in the past, so it makes some sense that way. Austin Rivers was a possibility. There were a few other names thrown about, but it is Jeff Teague coming to the Milwaukee Bucks. Give me your thoughts on that, where he fits. I imagine we'll see him tonight. We'll see him against, you know, Portland right away.
That would be my thought, you know, if they finally made it official. I think that nowadays that means not just passing a physical, but all the COVID tests and all those things. So, yeah, that's my first thought. And unlike, you know, P.J. Tucker or, you know, Andre Drummond that we saw in Los Angeles, you know, Jeff Teague hasn't been, you know, shelved for a month and a half. You know, he's been playing. You know, he hasn't seen the court since March 25th. But, you know, that's not quite the same month long or weeks long sort of delay. So, yeah, I would think he'd be ready to play a few minutes in Portland. And honestly, JR, it's needed. You know, this bench has really been missing something with Bobby Portis being out due to the health and safety protocol. And not that Jeff Teague is going to come in and, you know, score 15 points, but they do need a little help, and it's probably coming at the right time.
He could score 15 points. I could see that being the type of game Jeff Teague delivers, especially with Portis out. You know, the Bucks did lose three straight games since Bobby Portis went into the health and safety protocol, and I think we're all left to assume that, like Jrue Holiday earlier this year, he got a positive COVID test. We don't know that for sure, but given the length of time he's been out at this point, and given that the NBA did have one positive test last week, we can sort of connect the dots. The Bucks, I don't think Bobby Portis is one of the guys that you circle when you say the Bucks can't live without X, X, and X, but this team has not done well when shorthanded really in any capacity this season. And, you know, maybe is it possible we underestimate? I mean, he's a very exciting player, and I know fans love watching Bobby Portis. Is it possible we underestimate his contributions given that the Bucks have kind of gone into a little bit of a malaise since they lost him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know we talked about early in the year, JR, when they were sort of figuring themselves out. The Bucks had this trend of, you know, if the bench scored less than 40 points combined, they lost, you know. And obviously he's the big part of that. I mean, he was their sixth man for a long time before Pat Connaughton kind of assumed that role, even with a healthy Portis. But yeah, I think for sure they've struggled with energy. That really was an issue the first half in LA, JR. I mean, it was so sleepy in the Staples Center for that Lakers game. It was, you know, on one hand, it was great because, you know, it was just all about basketball. But, you know, the players kind of need that little bit of something, and Bobby Portis provides that. So, yeah, I think he's their main big that comes off the bench for Brooke Lopez or Giannis. And he scores. They definitely have missed him. And, you know, if Jeff T can come in right away, and granted, he's not a big, you're still rolling out Mamadi and Thanasis. Like, that.
Yeah. That music to my ears. That duo is incredible.
Well, they're incredible except for, you know, scoring.
This is true. That is a problem.
So if Jeff Teague can somehow ameliorate that a little bit, because look, Brent Forbes, he is who he is. He kind of needs that space. He needs help creating a shot. And if Jeff Teague can get into the paint and maybe make things easier for Thanasis or Mamadi or Brook Lopez, that can only help.
We will, of course, talk about the Thanasis game against the Knicks shortly. But starting with the more recent games, you know, you'd said on the last podcast, if they're going to win any game on this trip, they got to go in and beat the Lakers. The Lakers are without their two best players in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And the Bucks did that. They took care of business for the most part. They 112-97, fairly handy finish there. But the game a couple nights earlier against the Clippers was a blowout, and Luke Kennard couldn't miss from three at one point. And the Clippers were shorthanded too. They didn't have Paul George in that game. They were missing a couple other guys. Kind of seemed like a game the Bucks probably should have won, and certainly a game they should have been in. That's the third loss in a row. At that point, the Knicks game is sort of a game that can't really be counted there. But what do you make of what you've seen, what you saw when you went out to LA? Did that feel like a team that was shrinking back a little bit, or do you think they're, you know, right now holding the course might just be fine for this Bucks team?
Yeah, when it's all said and done and you zoom out of the season long schedule, you're like, oh, you know, split with the Clippers, win home and home. That's expected, not a bad result. But yeah, the process of it was bad. I mean, they weren't really, you know, when the starters are getting pulled off the court late in the game, because they're just down by so much and the head coach feels, you know, you're not going to be able to get it done. I mean, that's not a good sign. And there is a context there to that. That happened against Boston on March 26th. So it was two games in a row that the starters were told to go sit down, you know, because that they didn't play well. And so, yeah, it was a good response against the Lakers, a needed one. I think at this juncture, JR, that was not a good start to the stretch run for the starting group. You know, if it's a group that wants to be playing its best basketball, I mean, that was not a good way to go. So we'll see. I mean, the Portland game is a big one, as our listeners kind of get ready for this game tonight. CJ McCollum's back. Yusuf's back. They're a healthier team than the team the Bucks blew out back at Fiserv way back when. So let's see how they kind of stack it together here. Because, yeah, I think that was my takeaway from L.A. was, they got the one they were supposed to and got run out of the building, you know, in sort of a prime time show up game when really they had a couple days off. You know, they got the rest day against the Knicks and they came out and, you know, looked like they were still resting.
Yeah, that March 27th game against the Knicks, 102-96, Knicks win. But if you're a Bucks game and you were a Bucks fan and you're watching it, that was about as satisfying and enjoyable a loss as you could possibly have, especially at home, especially against an Eastern Conference foe, because the Bucks played almost no one. Everybody, you know, Bobby Portis was out because of the health and safety protocols, PJ Tucker because of injury, a lot of other guys nursing, I don't know if we can call them minor ailments, but they came back to play the following two games, so we assume that they were at least minor. But Giannis didn't play. Drew Holiday wasn't in. I mean, this was as close to a, you know, B team as you could get out there on the floor. It was Brook Lopez and four guys that don't start. And the Bucks absolutely held their own. I mean, Thanasis had a crazy good game. suddenly I find myself questioning. I mean, I joke about Mamadi and Thanasis, but understanding those guys are the last line of their depth are those guys. But Thanasis came in, had an amazing game, and looked really good. Part of me is not, you know, crazy about the idea that the Bucks kind of just punted on a game. Now, it might have been because they had to, and it might have been because it made the most sense to do it. Even gave them a chance, you know, they even almost won. So clearly the opponent was one that they thought they could maybe even steal one away from. But with them being in a competition for the top spot, I'm sure that wasn't something that people loved. But Thanasis, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's like one of the moments of the year. Jordan Wara with 21 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, this was this as fun to watch in person as it was to watch on TV?
It got there, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, no one likes bullpen days for the most part. You know, it's like, oh, man, you know, it's like whatever for a few weeks or a few innings, and you just you kind of hope to win 12-10, right? And that's almost what happened. Look, the Knicks are a 500 team, I guess, at that point. They moved above 500, and what was interesting about it, JR, was, you know, the Knicks are a playoff team right now. And I guess that just shows you the gap between the top three in the East and then everybody else.
And firmly in the playoffs, too. Like, they're not the eighth seed, you know, toggling between eight and nine. Like, that's right. Season ends today. They're the sixth seed, you know?
Right. So that was sort of, if you're the Bucks, you're like, wow, okay, you know, these guys, there's no knock on Sam Merrill, but it's kind of a knock on Sam Merrill and Wara. And I mean, you know, they don't play. And there's a reason they're there, is to have a game like this. And yeah, you're right. Thanasis running point, right? I mean, what?
Unreal.
You know, of course he was. Of course he was. Of course he went three or four from three, you know, and
including a step back, fall down. I mean, it was ridiculous, Tim.
Which, look, there is a saying, you know, like if you're there are no bad NBA players. It's just the construct of the team and their role. And as Thanasis said after the game, he's like, look, you know, people like to say, oh, these guys can't play. But, and then he kind of shrugged his shoulders. And JR, liken it to a little bit like the fourth running back on the team, where, let's be real, like everyone loves Aaron Jones. He's getting paid a lot of money. But, like, you know, if you gave Jamal Williams 30 touches, like the odds are he's going to put up 120 yards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, it was kind of fun to watch because you got to see some guys, like, show their talent. And maybe, I know it was fun, but, like, oh, Sam Merrill isn't the backup point guard. Like, they did need Jeff Teague. Like, it kind of also leveled out the Twitter, if you will, to a degree. So I enjoyed it on several levels in that way.
Yeah, it was wild. Now, if I look at the standings, and still got a long way to go, but the Bucks are kind of fitting in pretty crystal clear in that number three spot. They're three games out of first behind the Nets, and the 76ers are a half game behind the Nets. And so right now there's a little bit of separation between those two teams and the Bucks, who are in turn six games ahead of both the Hornets and the Heat for the fourth spot. So right now, you know, the Bucks, obviously they could still move up or down, but it's looking less and less likely that they can move down, and starting to get a little bit harder to move up. If you're the Bucks, I can't imagine you want to face both the Nets and the 76ers in a potential playoff path. Right now, that's what they would be facing. I would think the battle for the one spot would be pretty fierce down the stretch between those three teams. You know, ultimately, I kind of want to get you to look at the Nets a little bit with some of the roster moves they've made. And you know, give me your impression if you think that's a team that is now unquestionably the top team in the East, or if there's still, you know, could still be a lot of debate. The Nets are hot again. They've won four in a row, and it seems to me like that is the team that now the Bucks and the 76ers are going to be chasing. Do you see it that way? I mean, how do you evaluate this sort of three team race that's developed in the Eastern Conference at this point?
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought it up because we'll have this piece over at jsonline.com here in a little bit, JR. It's exactly that. It's not so much, you know, home court in this sort of messed up season. It's the matchups. And yeah, like if the Bucks stay at three, they're going to have to beat Brooklyn and Philadelphia. Because look, I mean, the way this is set up, I don't see Brooklyn or Philly being upset by, you know, whoever wins the play-in series and, you know, the combo of the Knicks and the Hawks, right? Like, it's just, that's not how basketball works.
Or the Celtics are in there, too. I mean, they're two games below 500. Celtics are a fringe playoff team at this point.
Right. And so, you know, that you just don't want that. And you know, they've got a shot. And the reason they have a shot is because they still can play each of those teams twice at home. So if you sweep Philly, if everything stays the same, but you sweep Philly, you are now the two seed by virtue of winning the season series. Right. Because you'd finish with the same record. So Brooklyn obviously is a little tougher deal. I think even with all of their injuries to the big three, they've clearly proven they can kind of do what they need to do otherwise. So I think if you can get that two seed, JR, that means a couple things. One, unlike your start in LA, you are hitting the gas and you are getting to the point of peak performance as maybe, you know, the playoffs begin, which has been their stated goal since we started this in December. And you avoid playing both of them. Now, Miami is the interesting one in there, JR. They also made a move with Victor Oladipo, and they've been playing better. I don't know if you really want a scenario where it's like, hey, Miami, Brooklyn, Philly, in order to get to the finals. That would be not – yeah, that's not – that's and you can't really control what's going on under you in the seeding, right? Like if Miami does what it does, you can only work to what you can do. And I think Brooklyn is harder to catch in my view, JR. I think they're a bad matchup for the Bucks. Whereas I think Philadelphia, even when Joel Embiid is back, I think Philly, the Bucks can match up with the 76ers, in my opinion. So, I think Brooklyn's going to kind of stay there. They've proven that they don't need the big three to keep winning. So I think if you're the Bucks, you got to set your sights on Philadelphia and play really well down the stretch, win those games, and suddenly you start the playoffs as the two seed.
Yeah, Joel Embiid is due back here for the 76ers, so he will be presumably on the court and a thorn in everybody's side going forward. So those games, you know, and we talked about this before, that there is that corridor of games late in the season, a couple games against the Nets, and a couple games against the 76ers as well. So there's going to be it's going to be a fun finish to the season. As we look into the immediate future, we talked briefly about this Blazers game tonight. They also still have to face the Kings, Warriors, and Mavericks. The Warriors, they're solid, but they need wins to get into the playoff hunt on their own accord. The Mavericks right now, one of the teams that they are chasing in one of the last couple spots, not quite the Dallas Mavericks team I think we thought we'd see at the beginning of the season, but still obviously very, very good. I've asked you variations of this question before, but what are you looking forward to here in these next four games? Are there certain benchmarks you want to see this team hit, or do you just want to see them like maybe split these four games, get home, and say that West Coast road trip is in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, I think in general, JR, when we talk, especially like, you know, Brewers and Bucks, generally speaking, West Coast trips, you're like, ah, if you could come home at 500, that's okay. If you're a good team, you know, and look, Bucks fans, the last couple of years, the Bucks would roll out West and win, right? I mean, you don't win 60 games, just kind of take it. I think they need to beat Sacramento. They need to beat Golden State, even if Steph is still playing. Those are teams that are under 500, and I understand that under 500 in the West is a little different. But to me, then, those are quasi-playoff teams of a lower stature. Win the game. Win those games.
Yep. A team you should sweep in the first round of the playoffs if you saw it, you know, or win in five.
Yeah, Portland is interesting. As I said, they've got a legitimate MVP candidate, and that's maybe a topic for a podcast coming up here at the end. Dame Lillard's squarely in that conversation. That's a tough place to play. I think that to me, Jay, you win in Portland, you're like, okay, lose to the Clippers, beat the Trailblazers. That's like, okay, you know, like you're like, all right, feeling a little better about it. Lose to Portland with your starters again. Ah, man, that makes you wonder, can they overtake the top two teams in the East? Because that, to me, Portland isn't, you know, a top three team, but when it's all said and done, they may get close. This isn't to knock Dallas, but you're right. It's Luka and a bunch of dudes that are kind of like, eh. So yeah, JR, I'm thinking, look, this is a six game road trip. I think 4-2 is a thing. And look, that Dallas game, you're coming home on a back-to-back to play Charlotte. I mean, the schedule makers, that's probably their worst little, like, oddity of the schedule. But look, but that's what it is. So I think 4-2 is you got to hit the gas now. You got to. And I just see, you know, a schedule before the 76ers where you can kind of, you know, stack some more wins together. So I'd say 4-2, and I guess if you look back at it, and it happened in a weird way, and not the way we think, you lose the Portland, but you kind of sweep out, or you beat Portland and you drop one to the Warriors. But to me, that's what I'm looking for. Now's the time. You got to start playing better and actually winning the games as opposed to sort of building the victories.
Totally agree with that. It is funny because I looked at the standings and, you know, like a lot of people lately, I think the Bucks have been kind of down lately, and you look and they're 30-17, yeah. You know, it's so easy to forget just how otherworldly they are because they are low. They're at a lower bar than, I guess you could say, record wise than they were the last 2 years. And, you know, we could try to intellectually explain that away and talk about what they're trying to do and how they're trying to be ready at the end of the year. But 30-17 is still really, 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 really good. So yes, you did touch on the thing that I wanted to hit on before we got out of here, the MVP, the check-in on the MVP race. This has not been a great stretch for Giannis. He did have 32 points in that loss to the Clippers, which is a nice number. 9 turnovers against the Lakers. I mean, he had a double-double, like typical offensive production, I guess, but 9 turnovers just seems really tough, and that's the type of defense, you know, he's gonna see defenses where they're just trying to flat out take the ball away from him as he drives into the paint, and it was effective. The Lakers were able to turn him over a bunch. Some sort of pedestrian games against Boston, but we did discuss that was sort of after he had left a game with a knee sprain and missed a game. So I think you could kind of explain recent play on that alone. He doesn't dress against the Knicks, of course, like we said. What are we thinking here? Because Embiid's coming back. I don't know if he's still the front runner. I think Lillard might be the front runner now. I don't know. To me, I can't tell you off the top of my head who I would say the top 3 MVP candidates are at this point. And if I do make that list, I feel like Giannis is kind of still there or at least in the top 5.
Yeah, I think it's shifted to me, JR. I'm someone who favors availability. And
very football of you, by the way. Very Mike McCarthy of you.
Yeah. So, man, I understand the Nuggets are 5th in the West. The Blazers are 6th in the West. But, I mean, Nikola Jokic and Damian Lillard had missed games for their teams. And, frankly, their record is about the same as the Bucks. 30-18 for the Nuggets, as we talk. 29-18 for Portland. So, yeah, Durant's out of the mix. Embiid is not. But to me, there's more room to make up. And I guess we'll find out if he could just sort of return to form after missing weeks off of the bone bruise. That'd be a heck of an accomplishment. Yeah, Giannis has dipped here a little bit, and partly due to his injury. That clearly, to me, affected him. You miss a game. Or 2 games with it on the injury report. You don't finish another one. So we'll see. I think Kawhi Leonard is kind of in there. Leonard's kind of like the Giannis to me. So yeah, I'd say Giannis is in that 5th area, 4th-ish, 5th-ish, you know. But there's still a chance. He's still putting up great numbers, JR. You're right. I guess we'll just have to see how they finish. And that's what it's about, right? If you're the MVP, you're going to sort of play your best, lift your team to its best. And it makes a fun sort of ancillary race, I guess, to all of this, right? It's kind of the fun part about, the end of the basketball regular season.
Yeah, you're right. Jokic has got to be he's got to be 1A, 1B with Lillard at this point. Yeah, there's a lot of candidates in here. Something just struck me that's not really related to what we're talking about, but we're working on ramping up toward the 50th anniversary of the Milwaukee Bucks winning the 1971 championship, and you've been doing a ton of work with that. We've all in the sports department been putting some stuff together, and I'm just looking at Giannis's minutes played and, you know, noticing this is not a new trend by any means, but the guy, you know, 35, maybe approaching 40 minutes in most of these games. And just thinking back to like Kareem and Oscar, like they would play 42 minutes. And yeah. It's like, well, why did they sit so long? You know, why, why didn't they play? They were resting their starters. End of the year, they're resting their starters. Kareem's still getting 40 minutes a game. It's like, what? That's resting your starters? It's just, it kind of circles back to what we're talking about at the beginning with the bench playing a big role. Like the 71 team, like they had a decent bench, but those guys were there for when guys got like in foul trouble. That's it. So it's different.
It is incredible. You're right. I'm excited about some of this 50th stuff, man. That's coming up here at the end of April, that anniversary, April 30th, I believe, JR. Yep. is the actual 50th of that title game. I know you've don't shortchange yourself. You've worked hard as well. Laurie Nickel, Ben Steele, I know our audio visual department, Olivia Reiner, of course, our friend on the Packers beats chipped in as well. I mean, it's going to be some good stuff. So that's a nice tease. This podcast will have some guests, not just on the 50th, but I think we're going to loop in a couple others. It's not just the 50th of the championship, JR, but it is the 20th season. Cause you know, media culture, we like zeros and anniversaries, and who could forget Scott Williams being suspended for Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Conspiracy.
You know who hasn't forgotten it? Scott Williams.
A lot of fans. Oh, Scott Williams. Yes, bring out. Come on the Point Forward podcast. What a perfect. We need a forward on the Point Forward podcast. Yeah. Bring him on,
Scott. So I will say this, Scott. We will hear from Scott Williams.
Yes! And I'm so excited.
Yes, we will hear from Scott Williams. And you know who else hasn't forgotten about that, JR?
I mean, I could literally pick a lineup of Bucks fans from the 90s, but keep going.
George Karl has not forgotten about that.
Bring him on the podcast!
Yeah. And George, So I think so there's a little tease for listeners of the Point Forward podcast. Scott Williams, George Karl, I think, may want to join us, because I think they have things to say 20 years later. And, of course, we've got this great stuff coming from 50 years ago. Because, look, you know, the Bucks are great and interesting right now. But, you know, we got to acknowledge the past, too, before we dive full speed into the playoffs.
Absolutely. So that is something you can look forward to at jsonline.com. That's also the place where you find everything Jim Ozarski has to write. He wrote a great story about the Antetokounmpo trio. You know, we've talked a lot about the Nassis. I mean, I'm a huge fan of his now. I'll be ordering a jersey, but Kostas, of course, was in the mix with the Lakers. So the three of them again got to share a court, which was a really cool story that Jim wrote at jsonline.com. And before I let you go, any last thoughts? Anybody we haven't touched on that you want to hit, or are we good to go?
Just real quick, no timeline yet on PJ Tucker and that calf. I mean, TMZ found him shopping out in Beverly Hills on their off day in LA, because of course they did. Of course TMZ finds PJ Tucker, you know, hanging out in Beverly Hills shopping. But no, I would say that's the thing. Look, the context is playing your best basketball and all that stuff. Well, in order to do that, the two guys that they just acquired kind of need to play. PJ Tucker needs to get healthy soon, in my opinion. And obviously, you can't really put that on Bobby Portis, because COVID, who knows how that may affect him. But PJ Tucker and Jeff Teague need to get themselves worked in, I think, as soon as possible, JR.
Absolutely. We saw Drew Holiday come back and look pretty good early on, but it just affects everybody so differently. You cannot guarantee anything when somebody is missing because of COVID protocols. So definitely the Bucks could use a shot in the arm there. Jeez, no pun intended. seriously, no pun intended. Anyway, he's Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter for the Milwaukee Bucks. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Thanks for tuning in to the Point Forward podcast. Guests, baby, I'm excited. We will be having that here in the future. Stay tuned with us every week. You can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcast. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.